Okay, Daf Ayin Omid Aleph, top page. Top of the page. In the Mishnah that we just started recently, the Mishnah said 10 types of Jews went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael with Ezra, and the Mishnah enumerated a whole bunch of them. Okay, and the Mishnah was trying to prove all, until now, the various groups, how do we know they went up? So it says, one of the things what he said, Geiri v'charuri, converts went up, that they converted, and freed slaves. So it says, Minolin, how do we know they went, converts and freed slaves went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? Amir Rav Chisda said, Amir Kar, because the Pasuk says like this, V'chol anivdo mitum is goy ha'aretz, and the Yidin, it refers to about eating the Karban Pesach. Those who returned from exile, together with everyone who had separated himself mitumas goyardis from the defilement of the nations, also joined the Jews to go up to Eretz Yisrael and eat the Karban Pesach. That means Gerim basically became from Goyim to Jews, so they separated, and their Goyish slaves, until now they were Goyish slaves, now they became, when they become free, they become full-fledged Jews.
Actually, there was only 40,000 of them that came back, right?
Yeah, but these were all part of them. And then it says, Mamzerim, Mamzer also went up. The Mamzerim also went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara said, Minolan, how do we know Mamzerim went up also? Maybe they stayed in Bavel. So it says like this. The Chassid of Pasuk says, Vayishma Sanbalat, Sanbalat was Chirani from the nation of Choron, V'tuvia Ever Ameni, and Tuvia the Ammonite slave herd, okay? We'll soon see what it was. And then the Pasuk says like this, Uksiv Kirabim B'Yehuda Balishvulei, many of the people of Judea swore allegiance to this Tuvia, who was an Eved, Kichos L'Shchanya Ben Arach, because he was the son-in-law of Shchanya Ben Arach. V'Yechanan B'nei, and Tuvia's son Yechanan, Lokach Hazbas Meshulam Ben Brachia, married the daughter of Meshulam, the son of Brachia. Okay? Now, this whole thing shows that they married Jewish woman, okay, and he was a slave, this guy, and yet they went up to Eretz Yisrael. Okay? Now, Kesavar, this opinion holds, Eved Kechavim ve'Eved Habo Abbas Yisrael, a goy, and or an Eved, that lives with a Jewish girl, the kid's a mamzer. We don't pass only that, Lapel. Okay, so he says like this. This guy, Tuvia was a, says in the Pasuk, Ha'eved or Ameini. Okay? Then the Pasuk said they married Jewish girls. And the Gemara assumes, now, that they had kids. So what were those kids, according to this opinion? They were Mamzerim. Because it was a guy and an Eved who lives with a Bas Yisrael, is a Mamzer, according to this opinion. Right? If Tuvia was an Eved and he married Jewish girls, and they went up to Eretz Yisrael, so obviously a Mamzerim went up to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, 1 minute. That's only good according to the opinion that says, a guy who lives with a Jewish girl, or an Eved that lives with a Jewish girl, the kids are Mamzer. But according to the opinion, which is the halacha, by the way, that the kid is a legitimate kid, Ma'ika Lemeimer, then they're not Mamzerim, they're full-fledged Jews. Right? Tuvia's kids. Secondly, how do you know they had sons? It doesn't say they had children. The Gemara wanted to prove that because it says Tuvia married a Jewish girl, and they went up to Bavel, from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, right? And the opinion holds that the kids are Mamzer. So the assumption is they had kids who are a Mamzer, and they went up to Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara says, first of all, that's only good according to one opinion. According to the opinion that if an Eved or a guy lives with a Jewish girl and gets her pregnant, the kid is a Jewish kid, so then the kids are not Mamzeidim. And secondly, where does it say they have kids? Okay, the halacha today, by the way, which you could say thank God for that, is if a guy lives with a Jewish girl and gets her pregnant, the kid's Jewish. Full-fledged Jew. Just can't get married to a guy, but...
And if she's married, the kid is not a mamzer.
No.
If she's married, the kid.
No.
Married? What do you mean she's married?
If she's a married woman, she gets raped by a goy.
She's not a mamzer either. Okay. V'su, and he says like this, Mimai daha chahava lehu, how do you know, even if there were children, and even if there were mamzeidim, he says, how do you know, daha chahava lehu, that they were in Bavel, usliko, and they went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, dilma hasim hava, maybe they lived in Eretz Yisrael? The Gemara is trying to prove, page Ayin, Amid Aleph, the Gemara, on top of the page, the Gemara is trying to prove that mamzeidim went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, because that's what the Mishnah said. So Gemara said, brings a proof from a pasuk. Tuvia the Eved married Jewish girls. Okay? And therefore the kids are mamzeim, therefore they went up. So Gemara says, 1 minute. First of all, there are opinions that hold the kids not a mamzeim. Secondly, how do you know they had kids? Thirdly, maybe the kids were in Eretz Yisrael. How do you know they went up from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael? How do you know? Maybe they didn't. So Gemara says, Ela mehacha. We learn it out from a different pasuk. Seven lines in the top of the page. Ela mihacha from a different pasuk. It says, Elo ha'elim mitel melech. These are went up from tel melech, tel charsha, from tel charsha, kruv, odain v'imer. Okay, this is people that went up. Okay, now, v'lo yochel l'hagib be'savesim v'zadim. And they couldn't even state who their father was. Im mi Yisrael heim, they didn't know if they were Jewish either. They didn't even know if they were Jewish. This is what the pasuk says. So Gemara says like this. Why is it called Tel Melech? It says, Elu b'nei Adam, these are people like Acha'esim, Deimim Asim, L'maisis Deim. They resemble the people of Zdeim. Zdeim were known for infidelity. They're creating a lot of mamzeidim, right? So they were wicked people. So Zdeim created a lot of mamzeidim. So it says, why was this place called Tel Melech? The hill of salt? Because they acted like the people from Zdeim that turned into salt. Why were they called...
only one person. How many people would turn into salt?
Light's wife.
There's only one.
Yeah, but that's who it refers to.
Is there mamzeres by goy?
If there would be Jewish, yeah, there would be mamzer.
So there's not.
If
the concept of mamzeres doesn't.
The mamzer does not exist by a goy. In other words, if a married woman who cannot, but for goyim, saying go goyim now, yeah, a goy man, goy woman. Married, so they're not allowed to commit adultery, right? So if this Goyisha woman lives with another man, okay, she committed adultery. But the kids are not mamzeirim. Mamzeirim are only by Jews.
They still get capital punishment.
Yeah, yeah, the capital punishment for sure. But there's no mamzeiras by a Goy. But the Gemara is speaking that these Jews behaved like Zdeim, which committed adultery, so therefore by Jews it would be mamzeidim. That's what the Gemara means. Tel Charsha, why was the place called Tel Charsha? Literally means mountain of Cheresh, means silent. Zeh shekeri abba v'imim mishtatkteis. This is a case when a kid calls out father, he's looking for his father, his mother says be quiet, because we don't know who the father is. That then the pasuk continues that you couldn't even know if they came from Jews. Asufi, that's called an asufi. Shenesef min ashuk, who's gathered from the street. You don't know who the father or mother is. In other words, like this. There's two, we learned before in the Mishnah also. There's shtuki and asufi. Shtuki means shtika, quiet. What is a shtuki? The Gemara says a shtuki is a guy that the when the kid calls out father, he's looking for his father, they say, psh, be quiet. Shtuki. That means we know who his mother is, but we don't know who the father is. Asufi means gathered. Asuf. Asufi means you find the kid in the street, you don't know who the father is, you don't know who the mother is. Okay? Now, in all these cases, Tel Melech was called because they acted like Zdom, they committed adultery, right? And those people went up to Eretz Yisrael from Bavel. So you see that Mamzeidim went up from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel. That's what the Gemara's proof.
But they said that was just a hypothetical. I mean, huh? The going that were the, like Sodom, they were
these
going.
These are Jews.
But when they acted like.
They acted like Sodom. That's what he says. Masayim daimim lemaisis daim. They were Jews. Mm-hmm. So by Sodom, there wouldn't be Mamzeim, but by Jews, there would be Mamzeim. Mm-hmm. We're committing adultery. Then the Gemara says, the Pasuk says, Kruv Adin v'Imer, Kruv Adin in Imer, Amir Ababu, who is this? Amir Adin Hashem says, the master of the world says, Ani Amarti, I thought, I wanted, Shayi Yisrael Lefanech Shuvim Kekruv, that the Jews should be likened to Kruvim, you know, the Cherubim, as they're called in English, of the Kedish HaGadosh, Vem Samu Atzmam Kineshe, and they made themselves like a leopard. Rashi says a leopard is one of the few animals that commits adultery with other animals' spouses, so to speak.
Bastard.
Huh?
It does or does not?
It does.
A leopard?
It says, which does not refrain from consorting with its fellow's mate. That's what Rashi says.
Other things besides leopards or just
leopards? No, just leopards. Okay. So it says, Hashem says about the Jewish people, I consider them like holy cherubim, and they act like leopards.
But they leopards themselves are a mixture of two different animals that became.
They're mamzer.
Yeah.
Ika d'amri, other people say the opposite. Amr ababu, Amr adon Hashem said the opposite. This is, first is the negative, then the positive. The Gemara's negative, the chassidic and non chassidic. The first thing says, Hashem says, I wanted to make them cherubim, they make themselves like leopards. The second version says, Hashem says, even though they act like leopards, I love them like cherubim. I still love them. It says, "Alpha pisha samo atzmi kenema." Even though they behave like a leopard, hechshuvim lefonik kruv. They can. I love them like the cherubim. Despite that, they don't behave. Hashem says, "I love them anyway."
We are trying to figure out who went up. What is?
No, this is just to continue the, because the Gemara quoted the pasuk, so now the Gemara is just finishing up the pasuk to explain it.
To explain it.
Because, in other words, they acted like Mamzeidim. They created Mamzeidim.
So we didn't already said that, like Sodom.
Now yeah, but that's bringing the same Pasuk. No, he's just continuing to finish the Pasuk in the explanation. The Gemara does it a lot of times. Yeah, the Gemara proves a part of a Pasuk, then the Gemara continues.
Anything why compares them to Kerub, not anything holy?
Kerub is holy.
No, why Dabka Kerub could be any other holy.
Angelic creature.
No, there are two. Husband and a wife. That's or
boy and girl, husband and wife.
Babies, no babies.
Yeah, but it's angelic creatures. It's like angel, you know. Okay, then the Gemara says like this. It's interesting Gemara. Amar Abba Bar Chana, Kol Anesei Isha Shehina Egenesli. Whoever marries a woman that is not fit for him. In other words, the Gemara is going to explain what that means. You know, halachically he can marry her, but the lineage is not what it should be. Ma'alo v'akosav, the Torah considers it, ki l'charosha l'chol ha'ilam kulay, as if he plowed the entire world, v'zari melech, and planted it with salt. Meaning, nothing grows. Shenamer, because it says, eilo ha'ilam tel melech tel charsha. The Gemara is just playing with that pasuk. They went up from tel melech, and tell Charsha. Charsha is Charisha, plowing. So it says, these people, they didn't marry the woman that they should have married, so therefore it's considered as if they planted the whole world with salt.
What does that mean?
Huh?
What, can you clarify what exactly that means?
Nothing good.
Here, oh, just, not, see my sharp and sure safe I'm making for explanation of the Gemara. If they marry an unsuitable wife,
someone who's like just
nothing good comes
questionable
out of it.
Like lineage.
Nothing good comes out of it.
Right. Then it says another interesting Gemara. Amar Rabba bar Ravada Amar Rav. Kol Anesi Isha L'Shum Mamin. Whoever marries a woman for her money. Havalim Banim Sheinim Hoganim. Have people, children that are unworthy.
Wow.
Blemished children. Shenema, where do we see this? Shenamar, because it says like this, Bahashem Bagodu, they rebelled against Hashem, Kivanim Zarim Yoladu, because they gave birth to strange children. And then the pasuk continues as it says that the nations are going to eat them up. The enemy will devour them. Okay? So it says, V'shem teimar mamin polat. You might think that the money escapes destruction, that nothing happens to the money. In other words, even though he has unworthy children, but the money will still stay? He says, no. The enemy will devour them in the month along with their portions. In other words, you can eat up his money too. And if you're going to say his money will be devoured but not hers, and she's the one with the money, plural. Maybe you're going to say Lizman Meruba is going to happen a long time from now, you know, far away, but now he can enjoy the money. Tamalei mechedesh in a month. Okay? So Gemara says, my mashma, how do you know it means right away? It says, chedesh nichnes, v'chedesh yotza, a month comes, a month goes, and the money is of it, the money is lost. So bottom line is, don't marry for money.
Is it possible, please?
What?
Chedesh nichnes for this year.
The pasuk says, yeah.
Is it possible,
huh? Yeah. Ata yechlem chedesh es chalkehem. That's the pasuk. Dumar quoted it. Ata yechlem chedesh es chalkehem. Chedesh ba chedesh nichnes chedesh yotze. It doesn't say the pasuk, but the pasuk says ata yechlem chedesh es chalkehem, which means Dumar is in a month they're going to eat up everything they have. Va'amar Rabba. Amir Abba Ravada, Vamilad Amir Absila, Amir Avamnuna. Listen to this. Kalanesi Isha Shayna Ganislai, whoever marries a woman is not fit for him. Eliol Kaifso, Eliol ties him on a whipping post, Vakarish Bochu rates and God gives him Malkus. The din is when a person in the time of the Beis Hamikdash got Malkus, right, for committing a Vaira. So they were tied to a post, and then they would get lashes. So the Gemara says, if you marry a woman that's not good for you, you get Eliyahu Navi ties you, and you get whipped.
She should be tied. Why he's being tied?
No, he's tied for marrying her. It means here, like people that don't come from good lineage, from you know bad.
That means a lot of people today will be getting whipped.
Yep.
He's getting whipped the whole life anyway. So
a little more.
He
little more.
His lineage by marrying a woman who doesn't
right.
come from good lineage.
Right.
And Rivka didn't come from good lineage.
Children coming out of it.
Yeah, but Rivka.
But that's why the Gemara says she was a rose amongst the thorn bushes.
Right.
Yeah, but that was she before Matan Torah.
What? What does that have with Matan Torah? This is, doesn't have to do with Matan Torah.
Right. I'm saying this is not, nothing to do with that. Then the Gemara says, V'tana, it says in the Braisa, Al Kulam, about all of these, Kenim, Levim, and Yisraelim, that married such a woman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chesim, Hashem signs and says, Oilei Lepesel Azari, woe is the one who disqualifies his children, who pagan his mishpach, they taints his family, Lanesi Isha Shena Gezlei, that's what the Braises says. And to one that marries a woman who's not fit for him, Eliyahu Kefsoi, Eliyahu ties him on the pole, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Reitzei, and Hashem whips him. And then he says like this,
should be that way around.
Chol HaPesel, Apostle. Whoever says other people are not fit, that's a sign that he's not fit. Whoever apostles others, and the Gemara is going to say the expression, kol ha-pesel b'mumay pesel. That Shmuel says the expression. If you ever disqualify somebody else, that means you yourself are disqualified for the same blemish that you disqualify. This is somewhat the Baal Shem Tov said, you know, any fault you see in somebody else, you yourself have it. It is similar to this.
What does it
mean, Eliyahu ties him to the post? That can,
it should be
the other way around. Yeah, right?
I mean, it sounds bad.
No. In fact, it brings down that it says in that whoever marries a woman who is suited for him, Eliyahu kisses him and God loves him. So the reverse of that is what our Gemara is saying. That if you don't, obviously it's figuratively. I mean,
yeah. So just you have problems of some sort.
Correct.
So what's the definition of a fit and unfit? What's unfit? What's fit? What's the definition? Is there a definition of it?
Remember, we learned before the various different people are Kohen and Levi allowed to marry in the Mishnah, right?
Right.
So if you don't marry those types of people that the Mishnah says you should marry, so then even though it's technically, halachically, it's a good marriage, but you don't have, it's not proper.
Kohen marrying a divorcee.
Okay, married a divorcee, guy marrying a mamzer.
So that's what it's referring to.
Right.
But that's not only bad lineage, that's like
bad
totally.
Bad character, bad midos.
That's not, the Gemara's not talking about bad midos here.
It's not talking about.
Not about bad
midos. That's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, a mamzer is against not, bad lineage, it's like. Much worse than bad lineage. Mamzer is.
Here.
It's no lineage.
She is genealogy tainted, though legally permitted to him.
Wow.
That's what it means.
It's a halachic issue, it's not.
Yeah, but legally they could be married. You know, moms, like you said, you marry a moms, you're legally married. But you marry a current marriage is a divorcee, they're legally married. But it's not, it's not what it should be. Then the Gemara says like this. Not only v'chol ha'peis, whoever declares others unfit, apostle he himself is unfit, and he never speaks in the praise of others. Meaning, he's unaccustomed to speak good about anybody. Rame Shmuel, and Shmuel, this is the famous Gemara called Paisel, Bamumay Paisel. Shmuel says, what the Braisa means, a person who blemishes others, he declares them unfit with his own blemish. That means whatever blemish he says they have, he himself has. And the Gemara is going to go into a bunch of stories. This is unbelievable. The story is coming up now to prove these points. The Gemara says like this. A whole Gavra, there was this guy from the city of Nardor. The Alagabi Mitbrachaya Pumpadis. He went into a butcher shop in the city of Pumpadis. Nardor and Pumpadis were the two big tourist centers in Bavel. Okay. Amr Lahu, he said to the butcher, Havali Bisra, give me meat. Okay, this guy from Nardor goes to Pumpadis and walks into the butcher store and says, hey, give me meat. Amr Lahi, so the butcher says to him, Netad at the shokel is shamed Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Cheskel. Wait until the servant, the attendant of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Cheskel, who is standing here, takes his meat. V'neisiv lochan, then we'll give it to you. Now, Rabbi Yehuda was the head of the yeshiva in Pumbedisa, so he was like the scholar of the city. Okay, he was the head of the yeshiva, so he sent a servant to get meat for him. So the butcher said to this guy from Nardor, wait until the servant of Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Chesko gets, and then we'll give you. Amar, so he says, Man Yehuda Bar Shevizkel, the Kodomli, the Shokum in Kamoi. Who is Yehuda Ben Shevizkel? His name was Yechesko. But Shevizkel means a fresser.
Means what?
A guy that eats like fresses.
What is fress?
No.
Gluttons.
Gluttons. He says, who is this guy Yehuda? He like belittled him. Who is this guy, the Yehuda, the son of Shvizkel, that should come and take before me? Like, who is he?
Was Rabbi Yehuda heavy?
No.
Just in case.
He doesn't even know Rabbi Yehuda.
So he says like this. Oslo v'amra le Rabbi Yehuda. Listen to this story. It's an unbelievable story in the Gemara. So they told Rabbi Yehuda what this guy did. So Shamtei, Rabbi Yehuda excommunicated him. Because the din is, if you insult a Talmud Chacham, he has to excommunicate. He insulted the head of the yeshiva, so Rabbi Yehuda himself, but Rabbi Yehuda excommunicated him. Amr, so they said to Rabbi Yehuda, what do you want? Rago de Kordele Inish Avde. This guy always calls everybody slaves. This guy from Nardor that went up, they said he's a lowlife. He calls everybody slaves. So what happened? Achris Allah da'avduhu. So Yehuda proclaimed that this guy is an Eved. Because we just learned, you call people Eved, you're an Eved. Yeah? So first Rabbi Yehuda excommunicated him. And then when people said that this guy calls everybody Eved, so Yehuda said he's an Eved. His lineage is tainted, he's an Eved. What happened? Ozalahu, so this guy went, Azman al-Adina Kamid Rav Nachman. He summons Rav Yehuda to a din Torah to Rav Nachman, who was the head of the yeshiva in Nardo, because that was his hometown. Right, this guy came from Nardo. So his rabbi was Rav Nachman. He comes to the city, makes fun of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda excommunicates him and calls him an Eved. So the guy says, okay, I'm summoning you to Din Torah, to Rav Nachman in Nardo. I said, Piska Dazman. So the Hazmanad, you know, the summons of Beis Din was sent to Rav Yehuda to appear to Rav Nachman.
Rav Huna.
No. To go to Rav Nachman. So Oz Rav Yehuda lekamid Rav Huna. So Rav Yehuda went to Rav Huna to ask him a shaila if he has to listen to the summons or not.
Rav, the guy took Rav Yehuda to a Beit Din in Hardai.
Of Rav Chista. Of Rav Nachman.
But Rav Nachman was in Hardai.
Yeah.
But the Rav of Hardai was not Rav Nachman.
Rav Nachman. At this time was Rav Nachman. Shmuel was the Rav, then Rav Nachman became, whatever. So also Rav Yehuda came to Rav Huna. So Rav Yehuda went to Rav Huna. He didn't want to pass it for himself. He went to Rav Huna. He said, Ezel or Le'ezel? Should I go or shouldn't I go? To the Dintah, I'm summoned. Should I go or not?
Or Rav Yehuda, you know.
Yeah. Amalei, Rav Huna said to him, Meizel, Leiboyach Lemeizel. The truth is, you don't have to go. Mishim Gavar Rabbaat, because you're even greater than Rav Nachman. El Mishim Yukorid, the Beinasiya, Kumzel. But Rav Nachman was the son-in-law of the head of the Golos. So Rav Nachman was a very powerful man, and it dealt with respect for the leadership of the Jewish people in Bavel. Okay? The Jews had was called the Reish Galusa, the leader of the Jewish people, which was, by the way, appointed by the Goyim, the Goyish government. But the Jews respected him because he was the leader of the Jewish people in Galus. So Rav Huna says like this, really, you don't have to go. Because the din is, this is also in Chayesh Mishpat, if you're summoned to a din Torah in front of a rabbi who is not as great as you are, you don't have to go. Because it's not respectful. So Rav Yehuda was greater than Rav Nachman in learning. He was older, and he was a Talmud of Rav and Shmuel. Rav Nachman was the next generation. Okay? So Rav Huna says to Rav Yehuda, listen, really, halachically, you don't have to go. But because Rav Nachman is the son-in-law of the Reish Galusa, so therefore you really should go. So go. He advised them to go. But Rav Yehuda, let me preface the story. Rav Yehuda wanted Rav Nachman to drop the case. So what Rav Yehuda is going to do in the next half of 10-20 lines, he's going to make fun of Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman, not make fun of him, belittle him. Okay? That Rav Nachman should get this picture that drop it. Okay, don't start up with me. Okay? So what happens?
So Rav Nachman started the whole thing because of the guy.
Yeah, listen, you got somebody. If I have a Beis Din, somebody, he says he wants to summons you to Din Torah, I summons you, what should I do? No, that's the way it works.
What? But you have to see who the person is that you're summoning.
Why not? Every Jew has a right to
summon the Rav Yehuda? I mean, Rav Nachman didn't know who Rav Yehuda was?
He knew him, but he didn't know him so well. We'll soon see.
Oh. You could practically summon the king, too, right?
Yeah, you could summon anybody you want.
And again, the reason for him summoning him was because...
Because he proclaimed that he's an Eved. That's what bothered him. That he excommunicated him, he didn't care. But that he called him an Eved, that means he tainted his lineage.
He called Rav Nachman.
No.
Rav Nachman called
Rav Yehuda called this guy from Nardo an Eved.
Right.
So he says, I'm taking you to Din Torah to Rav Nachman. So Rav Yehuda didn't know if he should go. So Rav Huna said, you should go. Okay?
To see if he's an Eved or not, or just because of his being insulted.
What's compensation?
Both. We'll soon see. We'll soon see.
Defamation of character.
Okay. Also, Ashkere the Kovid Mike. So he saw when Rav Yehuda came to Rav Nachman's city, he saw Rav Nachman was building a fence on the roof. You know, the din of a Mike, you have to put the fence on the roof. So he said to him, Amalei, Rav Yehuda said to Rav Nachman, Don't you hold of the din of Rav Yudah Mishmul that says, Kivin Shinisman Adam Parnasal Tziba, one who's appointed a leader in a community, he's not allowed to engage work in front of three people.
Like menial work.
Menial work. Amalei, he said, Porta Dugudanisa Hudukavin, I'm making a small portion of the fence. Okay? But what did Rav Nachman answer him? I'm doing a mitzvah. He said, I'm building a wall, a fence, you know. So he says to Rav Nachman, don't you, Rav Yudah says to Rav Nachman, don't you hold of the din, you're not allowed to do work in public like this? He answered him, I'm doing a mitzvah. But what did he call a fence? He called it Gundarisa. That's what he called the fence. Amalei, Rav Yudah said to Rav Nachman, Misanya b'maikid achsi b'raisa. You can't use a biblical word. Why are you using the word gundarenisa? Why don't you either use the word ma'ake that the Torah use, or mechitza d'amir abonin, or the word mechitza that the Chum use? And that's, again, he's trying to belittle Rav Nachman. He said to him, you're telling me you're building a gundarisa, which means a fence. He said, why are you using that term gundarisa? Either use ma'ake, which the Torah uses, or use the word mechitza, that the chachamim use. Why are you using a Babylonian word? Like a Persian, whatever the word is.
Mechitza and ma'ake, they have same dinim.
Mechitza is a wall, and ma'ake is a wall. But he says, why are you using a biblical word?
I'm talking about halachically. Do they have the same, like the mechitza and the shul?
No, there's 10 tefachim. And the roof is 10 tefachim.
Okay, but so it doesn't have, they don't have halachic.
No, he's just saying in
the language.
I know,
I understand that. I'm just saying, since they use on the same word, I thought maybe they have some sort
of... No, he says, why don't you, one's biblical, one's rabbinic. Okay, then he says like this. Amalei, Rav Nachman said to him, Yosef Mar, a carpita. Why don't you sit on the carpita? I mean, carpita is a bench. He said, Rav Yudah, why don't you sit down on the bench? Amalei, Rav Yudah said to him, Umisani safsal damer abanan. You can't use the word safsal. Why do you have to word the word karpita? You can't use the word safsal that the chachamim or itzdebe, or the word itzdebe, the amenet is used by ordinary people. He says, you can't speak the Torah language, you got to speak this goyish stuff. Amalei, Rav Nachman said to him, Leichomar esroinga. Maybe you'll have some esrik to eat. Maybe you want to eat an esrog.
He didn't answer him yet.
I know, he's getting the picture. 1 second. Amalei, so Rav Yudah said, he said, Rav Nachman said to Rav Yudah, maybe you want to eat an esrog. Amalei, Hachi Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Kol ha'eme esregna, whoever uses the word esregna instead of esrog, til sebe ramas rucha, is 1/3 haughty spirit. That means you're haughty. Okay? You should use esreg to karur rabbanim. Either use the word esreg that the chachamim use, or esrega, the amenet, the word esrega the people says, but not the word esrenga. Again, he's picking on the nitty gritty over
slang
here.
Slang language.
Yeah, he said, why are you using slang? Why don't you speak like a mensch? Either speak Torah or speak what people speak. Why are you using these crazy words? Amalei, he didn't answer him. Never did Rav Nachman answer him, by the way. Amalei, he said, Lishtemad Anboga. Anboga was a morning beverage that, for medicinal purposes, they drank it in the morning. So he said to him, maybe you'll drink an Anboga. Amalei Rav Yudah said to him, Misagi Ispargus the Kara Rabbanan. You can't call it Ispargus that the Chachamim called it. Or Anpig, the Amin Inshi, or Anpig that people call it. Again, he's picking on why you're using these languages. Amalei said, Rav Nachman said to him, they said, Doinog Tashkenan, let Doinog, my daughter, come and serve you. So Rav Nachman says, Rav Yudah, maybe my daughter should come and serve you. Amalei said, Rav Yudah said to him, Hachi Yom Shmuel. Shmuel said, Emishtam Shem Be'isha. You're not allowed to have a woman work for you because it might bring to, you know, wrong things. Okay?
Bring you wrong things?
To do wrong things. It's an ears. So he says, Ktani, so Rav Nachman, my daughter is young, under Bas Mitzvah.
He has a lot of patience.
Once at Befeinu Shama Shmuel, so Shmuel said, "Ein mishtamchim b'isha klal, ben gedela, ben b'ktana." Whether young or old. So what do you tell me? You want to send me your daughter to serve me? So he says, "Nishadale mashlema liyalta." Rav Nachman said to Rav Yehuda, "Do you want to send regards to my wife Yalta?" That was Rav Nachman's wife's name was Yalta. She was the daughter of the head of the Golus. Rav Nachman was the son-in-law.
And who was it?
Huh?
Who was the head of the Golus?
I don't know his name. Amalei, so he said, "Hachi Amishmul." He said, "How can I send greetings to your wife?" And she's going to answer back. Shmuel says, "Call Isha Eva." The voice of a woman is provocative. Mm. So the Nachman said, "Okay, Efshai de Shliach."
Rabbi, what happened? He said, "Say hi on my behalf."
No, Rav Nachman said, "Should I? Maybe you want to say hi to my wife."
Oh, directly.
Yeah. So he says, "How can you say hi to my wife? That means she's going to answer. I'm going to hear her voice." So he says, "Okay, Efshai de Shliach. Do it through a shliach. Say hi to my wife." So he says, "Amalei, if you just said Hachi Amishmul." And Shailin Bishleim Isha, you're not allowed to ask for the well being of a woman. Period. You can't ask for the peace of a woman. So how can you expect me to ask a shliach? So Rav Nachman said to him, Aide Baila, but I can give your greetings over to her. And I can talk to my wife, it's not improper. Amalei, Hachi Amashmul, and Shailin Bishleim Isha Klal. You're not allowed to ask about a woman at all, even through the husband. All these dinim, by the way, even though they all mentioned Shulchan, people are obviously very lenient with them today.
But this is the mekor for all those dinim in Shulchan Aruch? From
a lot of them are.
I mean, these specific things, saying shalom to a wife, I mean, of your friend, is that...
You notice, whenever the Rebbe wrote a letter, the Rebbe started the letter, Shalom Ubracha, Shalom Ubracha. Every letter that the Rebbe wrote to a woman was Bracha v'Shalom. Because you're not allowed to ask Shalom to Anisha, so you don't start with Shalom or Bracha. Any letter to a woman, the Rebbe wrote Bracha v'Shalom. Look in all the letters, every single letter. If it's to a woman, the Rebbe wrote Bracha v'Shalom.
And the reason was?
Because you're not allowed to ask Shalom of a woman.
Oh.
But again, this is the mekor for the, in Shulchan Aruch, this is the mekor of it, or there are other places that they drive the...
No, Taisis, the top Taisis, if he asks a question, didn't the Malachim ask Avram, Aye Sari Yishtacha?
They were Malachim.
What? But you know that. So he says, Hainu Davke B'She'ila Sholem. That's to, only to ask how she's doing. But to say Sholem, that you could.
Sholem in Hebrew or other language too?
No, I'm sorry. She'ila Sholem is Mutter. But to send Sholem to her, even through the husband, is Asr.
But now we can only do it through the husband.
Wait a minute.
Like if he wants to give a compliment,
you
to
can
him.
Ask where she is, how she is. You can ask a husband, how is your wife? But you can't tell the husband to ask his wife how she is from you.
Oh, you can say send regards.
Right, right.
But you can't ask how she is
right.
doing.
Through the husband.
Through the husband.
Right. Okay, you get into the story. We're not done with the story. Shalach le divisu. So, what happened is like this. Mrs. Rav Nachman, Yalta, is listening to this whole conversation between her husband and Rav Yehuda.
She's probably gonna...
So listen. Shalchalei Devisu, Rav Nachman's wife, who overheard the discussion, said to him, Shalchalei Tigrei, solve his dispute and let him get out of here. Dlei Nishavich Kishar Amores, that he shouldn't make you look like an ignoramus. The wife says to Rav Nachman, you know what, get rid of this guy, he's making you look like a fool.
Rav Nachman had something under him.
Amalei. So Rav Nachman said to him like this, "My shi'ate d'mar hach, what brings you here?" He tells this guy from that, no, I'm sorry, says to Rav Yehuda, "What are you doing here?" Amalei, "Taskadam z'munusa shodemar b'sroi, you sent me a subpoena, what do you mean what I'm doing here? You sent me a subpoena to court." Amalei, he said, so Rav Nachman said to him, "Hashda shusa de marli gemirna. I haven't even learned how to speak the master's language. Taske dasmen osam shadelamar. I'm going to be able to send you a summons. Rav Nachman said, that's exactly what Rav Yehuda wanted to accomplish. That Rav Nachman should realize that Rav Yehuda is greater than him, and he shouldn't deal with this. So Rav Nachman said, how do you expect me to summons you? I can't even speak your language. I can't even speak as proper as you. I'm going to send you Hazmana to din.
But I said he did send him Hazmana to din.
Rabbi. 1 minute. Okay. So he said, no, see, he said, what do you mean I sent you Hazmana? How can I send you Hazmana? So the Gemara says, Apik diska dasmnusim mi bechadya. So Rav Yehuda took out the summons from his pocket. He showed him, this is the summons. But actually, he showed it to him. And he said, Rav Yehuda said to Rav Nachman, Ha gavna vaha diska, here's the man, here's the document. What do you mean? Rav Nachman said, how can I send you Hazmana?
Right, here you go.
He said, what do you mean? Here it is, here, look. Here's me, here's the Hazmana.
Rav Nachman didn't know who he summoned?
No. He summoned Rav Yehuda, but he didn't know.
He didn't know who Rav Yehuda was.
Amalei, so he said like this. Rav Nachman said to him, Hail the Asim Malahok, the fact that he came here, Lishtoy Mili, let the guy present his case. Kehecha de Lelemru, that the people shouldn't say, that rabbi is a favoritism to one another.
Who said this?
Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, listen, you don't belong here. But you know what? If I dismiss the case, he's going to say, oh, favoritism between the rabbis. He said, let the guy state his case, and then we'll take care of it. Amalei, so Rav Nachman is listening to the case, right? So Rav Nachman says to Rav Yehuda, my time is Shamta Lahu Gavra. Why did you excommunicate him? Tell me, no, why did you excommunicate him? He said, Tzir Shluchad Rabbana. He harassed an agent of the Chacham. I sent my servant to buy meat, and this guy harassed him. So he says, V'nagdi Mar. So Rav Nachman said to him, why didn't you give him Malkus instead? Why did you excommunicate him? Whip him. Dorav, because Rav would always give Malkus to a guy that harassed Shluchim Bezdin. She says, the Adif Minei Avda. Rav Yehuda said, because I dealt even stringer than that.
What?
I was even stricter, I excommunicated him. Because when you whip a guy, he's back in 2 minutes, back to everybody else. Right? Mm-hmm. And he said, I did say excommunicate, I did stricter. But my time, Achris Mara Leda Avdahu. Why did you takis batzpah? Why did you say the guy's an Eved? Why did you proclaim it an Eved? Amalei, the Rogo the Kari Insha Avdah. Because this guy calls everybody slaves. Betana, we learned in a Braisa, call a Pesel Posel. Whoever Posels others, he himself has the same blemish, like we just learned in the Gemara. And the person that disqualifies other people never speaks good about anybody. He declares others, in others, what he calls others is the blemish that he himself has. So Rav Yehuda says, why did I call him an Eved? Because he goes around calling everybody an Eved. So according to Shmuel, he's an Eved.
Okay, now this is in Beit Din they're talking, or is it between themselves?
Probably in front of the guy. I don't know.
Disqualify them for doing that, right?
No, but he started questioning in the questioning. I'm sure this was in the court case. The guy probably said he excommunicated me and he called me a slave. Okay, so now he's turning. That was the plaintiff. Now he turns to the defendant. Rav Yehuda says, okay, so why did you do it? He said, because he insulted an agent of Beis Din. So he said, why did you give him Malkus? He said, because this is a better punishment to give him. He said, why did you call him an Eved? That was the second complaint against Rav Yehuda. So he said, because he called everybody an Eved. And Shmuel says, call a Pesel, but move my Pesel. So whoever calls other people an Eved, it shows he's an Eved.
Rav Yehuda holds by Rav or by Shmuel?
He was a Talmud of both.
Oh, yeah, this is in Beit Din. The plaintiff is interjected.
Yeah. Mm. 1 minute. So he says, though, Eimer Dama Shmuel Meichashli. But when did Shmuel say that we can assume, suspect him of being a. But, Lachruzi Allah Mi'amr. But he says, did Shmuel ever say you can proclaim in an Eved? Shmuel said, this is the way Rav Nachum is learning. There's that Shmuel said, Kol HaPreisa B'mum HaPreisa means, we suspect that he is the blemish. But you made a definitive statement that the guy's an Eved. How can you do such a thing? So he says, listen to this. Adahachi v'ahachi, while they're talking, the guy from Nardor came, you know, the plaintiff. Amalei, he said to Rav Yehuda, Ahu Bardina l'Rav Yehuda. And he said to Rav Yehuda like this. The didi karar sili avda. Me, you call a slave. The asina mi beis chashminoim malka. I am a descendant of the royal family of chashminoim.
Who is this?
The guy from Nardoi.
The plaintiff.
The plaintiff. The guy who was called in heaven. He says, you're calling me in heaven? I come from the chashminoim. I'm royal blood. Kayin, royal blood. Amalei, instead of Yehuda, said to him, oh, you just proved my point. Hacham Shmuel, Shmuel said, command the Amar Mibes Chashminoyim Karasina, anybody that says I come from the house of the Chashminoyim Avdahu is a slave.
Why?
Amalei, Rav Nachman said to Rav Yehuda, so he says like this, Rav Yehuda said, Now for sure you're an Eved. You just proved the point. So Rav Nachman said, no, doesn't work like that. He says, Amalei, this interesting din. Don't you hold of the din of Yudah Merav that says, Kol Tamid Chochem Shemeir Aloch Uba. Any Tamid Chochem who issues a legal ruling, okay, and he proceeds to mention the ruling with the lesson that he heard in the name of the teacher. So he's in Kaidah Maisa Amram. If he said that case, din, before he heard the case, shamanly, you listen to him. Vim lav ain't shamanly. And if not, you don't listen to him.
What happened?
Meaning like this. He said, you said, you okay, what happens like this, you called the guy an Eved, okay? When you called him an Eved, you didn't say this din that whoever says from Chashminoi is an Eved. See, if you would have taught that din first, and said, whoever says they come from Chashminoim is an Eved, and then later you call this guy an Eved, okay, we accept it. But Rav said, when you call a guy first, and then you bring down a story to prove your point, it's questionable on your story. Maybe you just created the story to prove your point. How do you know it's correct?
But is that a fact or not? Did you go to Chashminoim?
No, Rav says, Lepoil, yeah, that's a din. If any Tamil Chochem that Paskins are ruling. So, Imkei the Maisa Amra, he said, if he taught the lesson to students before the case was brought to him, meaning, if Rav Yehuda would have said to his students first, that whoever comes from Chashminoim, or says he comes from Chashminoim, right, is an Eved, then it's okay that you called him an Eved. But first you called him an Eved. And then you bring the Gemara that somebody said, oh, you see, I'm right, because if whoever comes in the Chashminoim is an Eved, right, then we don't believe you.
Because in the way you were angry and you said that, yeah?
Right. The Gemara said...
But is that a fact or not? The Chashminoim...
Yes, it is a fact.
That's a fact.
Yeah. 1 second. Now, what's the din that whoever comes says it comes in the Chashminoim is an Eved? Why is this? So he brings down over here a famous Gemara in Bava Basra that Herod, who's a slave of the Chashmonoim, killed all his masters. He established himself as king and adopted Chashmonoim family name. However, Jewish women would not marry into Herod's family because it's forbidden to marry a slave. Herod was an Eved. He killed all his masters, became the king. Okay? Many of the descendants of Herod married slaves or other disqualified persons. Since it's not known who married a disqualified person, and who married a person of pure lineage, all Herod's descendants were possibly carrying the status of an Eved.
What does that have to do with the Chashmonaim?
No, so because only one left from the Chashmonaim is Herod, and Herod has the din of a
Herod,
slave.
Herod was a Chashmonaim?
No, he was a slave of the Chashmonaim.
Oh, and he killed the
He killed all the Chashmonaim. Oh, okay. Later on, not...
Very later on, right.
He killed all the Chashmonaim, he made himself king.
I thought he was... from a Roman.
Wasn't Herod
the king of Israel? He was the one that rebuilt the second base of Mikdash to make it beautiful.
But wasn't Herod the guy who was in the Yaskis? Was that Herod who was in the Yaskis story?
No.
No?
I don't think so.
Herod was...
One second, if Herod was a slave, why would we call him even call him Hashemite? Just because he called himself?
No. He was Eved of...
Right, he was an Eved of himself. So the question is, why would we say that all the people are in Hashemite were Eved? He wasn't even a Hashemite.
No, it means you have to assume that they're an Eved.
Oh, I see, if they say that.
Because all the children married slaves in the, not kosher people. Because the Jewish women didn't want to marry into the family.
Was Nachman's complaint that Yehuda didn't say that before?
Yes.
He just not in the original. When he originally condemned him as a slave, or said that he proves he's a slave originally, but just now when he said in the court, when he said that the fact that he claimed to be a descendant of the Hashmonaim, that proves in fact that he's a slave. Was that what?
That statement that he said after that, it's too late. If he said that statement first,
his case doesn't know.
His case would have been.
But it's not his statement, it's a known statement.
Yeah, but he's saying it.
And then he had brought the proof afterwards.
Now he's saying it. Right? So he says, now you can't say that statement because it's too late for you to make that statement in this case.
Is that the general rule in Torah? Yeah. That
that's what that din is.
Was the source of that known at the time? Or was that the source of that statement known, that if you claim to be a descendant of Hashmonaim, that you're obviously you're a slave?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, so we had, what did Rav Yehuda's not done yet. So he says, Amalei, ha'ikir av masin dekoy kavasi. But I wasn't the one that said, that whoever comes to Chashmonaim is a slave. Rav Masna also said it.
Who also said it?
Rav Masna. In other words, the Gemara thought Rav Yehuda is the only source of that thing, din in the name of Shmuel. That whoever says they come from Chashmonaim is an Eved. Right? So he said, we don't believe you now. Because maybe you made it up. But he said, but Rav Masna agrees with me. So he says, 1 minute. But listen to this. Rav Masna lechazel and ardoi teresa shani. Rav Masna was not in Nadoi for 13 years. Ahu Yayma Asa. Poof, that day of the court case, Rav Masna popped in.
Wow.
Amalei Rav Yehuda said to Rav Masna, he said, listen to this memory that they had. Dechir Mar, do you remember Amai Ama Shmuel, what Shmuel said, Ki Korchade Kara Aguda, when you're standing 1 foot on the river bank, V'chad Kara B'mava, and 1 foot on the ferry? He says, do you remember a din? Okay, you have to understand. So Rav Yehuda says, what do you mean? I'm not the only one that said it. Rav Masna also said that name in the name of Shmuel. Yeah? So the din is a legitimate din, that he's an Eved. So the Gemara says, it's interesting. Rav Masna wasn't in Nardoi for 13 years. Punk that day, he comes in. So Rav Yehuda didn't want to, he had to be fair. So he says, do you remember the din Shmuel said when he was 1 foot on the boat and 1 foot in the river?
Was it a Carmelis thing?
No, dumb. So he said, yeah, Hachi Amar Shmuel, called the Amar Mebeis Chashmonaim Malka Kasina Avdahu. He said, yeah, I remember what Shmuel said. Whoever says they come from Chashmonaim is an Eved. Why? D'leishtayim Minayu. Because from the whole, it's different than we told before them. La Yishtayir, meaning from the whole house of Chashmonaim, only was left Ahura Visa, one maiden. One girl was left from the entire family. He killed out all of Chashmonaim, except one girl. Why did he leave
Jewish
the girl? Yeah. Herod wanted to marry her. So he left over this one girl that he was in love with. What happened? Salka Ligra, she went to the roof because she knew Herod wanted to marry her, and she didn't want to marry him because he was an Eved, right? Vedamia Koleva Amra. And she picked up her voice and said, called the Amr Mibes Chashminoyana, whoever says they come from Chashminoyim is an Eved. And Nafu Miigro Misa, she fell down and killed herself. Because she didn't want to marry Herod. Okay? So Rav Masna collaborated Rav Yudah's din. So in other words, if Rav Yudah was the only one that said it, that whoever comes to Chashminoyim is an Eved, then the Gemara said, yeah, but now you're not believed to say that. But he said, what do you mean? Rav Masna agrees with me.
So it wasn't the known halacha at that time.
No, it wasn't. So what happened? The Gemara says, so the court case is over. Achriz alei dahavdahu. So Rav Nachman paskind, the guy's an Eved. And the Gemara said, listen to this. Hahu yema, that day, according kama ksubim nardoi. Many ksubis were ripped up in nardoi. Because a lot of people from nardoi were married into this guy's family.
Wow.
And the din is, if your wife is not that legitimate, you don't have to pay her ksuba. You know, even though you're allowed to marry her, but if it's not, he says, women from the man's family were married to men from other families, ksubis. Since these women were possibly slaves and married under false pretenses, the husbands were not obligated to pay the ksuba anymore. So the Gemara says, kinafik. So now you have to understand what Rav Yudah made a ruckus over here. He disqualified half a nardoi. So kinafik.
Shalom bayit problem.
Yeah, this is a kinafik. Rav Yudah left. Nafik abasi lemirgami. The people followed nardoi to stone him. To stone Rav Yehuda.
Rav Yehuda Arma Rav Lahu, Nachman. I think Rav Nachman decided that.
Yeah, but it was all because of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda told Rav Nachman, look, I proved to you that he didn't have.
Okay, but Rav Nachman made
but he did it based on Rav Yehuda's thing. Arma Lahu, he said to them, Ishtiku, he said like this, if you'll be quiet, Shtiku be quiet. V'ilayin, if not, Megalia Alaycho Hodam Shmuel. I will tell you what Shmuel said about nardoi. What did he say? There are two families, two major families in nardoi. One is called Beyena, and one is called the Beurvisim. One is called the family of a dove, and the other one called of a raven. The simon and the simon is Tamei Tamei Tohar Tohar. A dove is a kosher bird. A raven is a trefa bird. So if Yudah says, either stop. And the Mephoshim explained, obviously he didn't tell it to them, because he said, if you stop, I won't say it. He told the people later that Shmuel said, because Shmuel was the Rav of Nardoi, Shmuel knew Nardoi. Shmuel said, there's two families in Nardoi. One is called Dove, and one is called Raven. Dove is a kosher animal, those people are kosher. The people that are called Ravens are not a kosher family. So the Gemara says, they threw down the stones into the river, into the Malka River, and a blockage arose in the Malka River because there were so many stones, it blocked the flow of water.
So what is this? Why did they back off?
Huh?
Why did the people back off?
Because if not, he would have puzzled even more people. He said to me, either stop or else I'll disqualify all of you.
They were so powerful.
Those are chacham were powerful.